Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, here's the host of the top-rated show for moms, Maria Bailey, on Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks for spending some time with us today on Mom Talk Radio. It's been a kind of a crazy month, hasn't it? We've had flu epidemics, we have had tragedies, and the year is just not even a quarter way done. I am Maria Bailey, and I'm excited to have you here with us today. I want to thank our sponsor, Premama. If you are pregnant and need a prenatal vitamin or supplement to help with lactation or digestion, Premama is the supplement company that allows you to get all of that without swallowing a big old horse pill. It's a supplement that just could be stirred into your juice. You can get it at CVS, Target, Amazon, or other retailers. You know, I want to take a minute as a mom who lives in South Florida, who actually had family members in Stoneman Douglas High School this week when all of that tragedy was happening. And, you know, events like that make you want to hug your kids. And it's really great that we have that desire when a tragedy happens. But I think as moms, we should find those moments every single day to embrace the chaos that I know that we all go through, because you just never, ever, ever, ever know what could happen. And, you know, just firsthand, if you think that it can't happen in your community, I can tell you, having been in the Fort Lauderdale airport the day before the shootings, having been this week worried about family members that are huddled down in classrooms, that Parkland, Florida is a place in our community where people lie about their street address so their children can go to school there. That's the kind of school district it is and the type of community it is. Everybody wants their kid to go to that high school. And it just goes to show that it can honestly happen anywhere. So hug your kids extra tight before they go to school. Hug them when it's crazy at your house. And find those moments in your day when you can say, you know what? Yes, this is crazy, but the alternative is so, so much worse than whatever it is you're going through at this exact moment. So that's my little lecture on that. But my heart goes out to all of those parents and the loved ones of everyone who lost someone in the tragedy this week in Parkland, Florida. It hit very, very close to home, and it's just a terrible thing. So you see something, say something, and hug your kids tonight. And with that, we are going to take a little break. And when we return, we have Brett Wagner, the author of Lies We Tell Our Kids. And he is going to tell us a little bit about those lies when we return.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
I'm sure there's been times when you've told your child little white lies. Maybe it's that there are nothing in their spaghetti sauce that resembles a vegetable. Maybe there's other little lies that you feel like you tell your children. Maybe it has to do with things that come down and bring baskets into your home or take teeth out. But our next guest, Brett Wagner, is the author of Lies We Tell Our Kids. He's a Pittsburgh-based director and illustrator with a propensity for puns and visible anomalies, and he's joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Brett, to Mom Talk.
Hi, Maria. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. So you have a sense of humor, which is great. We could all use a little humor. Why'd you decide to tackle lies?
So I think the idea came for the book originally just out of a little rhyme that I actually included in the book. Narwhals aren't whales, they're just people with tails. But from there, I don't know, I've always kind of been fascinated with alternate, like, ways of seeing the world, different ways to interpret what we take for granted.
What are the lies that we tell our kids?
In the book, I kind of tackle some of the more traditional ones, like if you pick your nose, it'll get stuck up there, things that people maybe use for behavioral type stuff. But then I try to dive into a little bit more creative or different ways of looking at some of them, like maybe the monster under your bed, it doesn't know how to read, so that's why it's sad, and different things like that. So I feel like there's a whole variety that we tell kids, and some of them in my book are things that maybe people have heard, and some of them maybe they haven't.
So are those lies, do you think, when we tell our kids, are they harmless?
I think it depends on the lie. I think I certainly don't advocate actually substantial lies to kids, but some of them that I include in the book can almost be maybe allegorical. Like there's one that I have that's don't accept donuts from gators, which, you know, it's funny. It's got a little illustration to go with it. However, you know, we don't want our kids to be accepting things from strangers. So, you know, it kind of forces them to maybe think beyond just the little light lie.
So it sounds like perhaps that you kept in mind the adults who might be reading the book to their child. Can adults gain something from this book besides a really good laugh?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I definitely wrote it with adults and kids in mind, but I think there's kind of a benefit both to looking at the world in like a little bit more of a creative way to interpret things, but also just to kind of question some of the things we hear. You know, you can find an answer for anything on the internet, but it doesn't mean that it's necessarily true.
That's right. So did you write the book more for the kids or for the adult or for both, do you think?
I think it's kind of a split. There's certainly some illustrations and drawings that are a little bit more geared towards kids. And I feel like it also, you know, myself, I'm a millennial and I'm not a parent. However, you know, I have friends that are in my age group that are parents. And I feel like I kind of tried to tap in a lot to that market as well and speak to those, you know, those young parents who have kids.
So one of the things that I often wonder when I read books to my kids is about the illustrations. And as an illustrator, I was just wondering, what inspires you when you're trying, is it to create an image that matches the words or is it to conjure up something beyond that?
It kind of, for me, it's a little bit of both. I think there's definitely some illustrations in the book where I had, you know, a greater purpose or like a lie that I was trying to figure out the best way to illustrate it, to maybe draw an emotion out of someone. But I feel like sometimes, especially if I'm kind of stuck creatively, I might just sort of draw whatever interesting colors or textures are really floating around my mind. So I'd say it's about 50-50.
Yeah. And how do you know that those illustrations are going to resonate with children as well as adults? Because it has to be difficult to draw for both audiences.
Definitely. I've had, you know, some illustrations over the years, not for the book, that, you know, I've given to friends and families, kids and stuff, and they seem to like it. So it's kind of, it's a very hit and miss sort of thing with really all art and illustrations, but I try to make them very colorful, very glossy, something that, you know, is fun to look at. And that's what I hope that, you know, both kids and adults can enjoy.
So I'm kind of wondering, what kind of lies were you told when you were a child? Because I'm trying to think of the ones that my mom told me.
Yeah. So the one that probably, unfortunately, it's hard to illustrate, so I didn't include it. But the one that stuck out the most to me was there was a time, I want to say when I was about 5 years old, that I would like flap my hands around in like a really weird way. It kind of made like a clicking noise off my fingers. And I very vividly remember my mom telling me that, you know, you're going to wear your wrists out and, you know, you don't get new wrists. So like that was just something I was like, oh my goodness, I can't do that anymore.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I remember that my grandmother used to tell me that if she cut like an inch of my hair, and I don't know why she said this, that it would get thicker, like it would come back in thicker than it was. I don't know. I don't know why she said that, but but she did, and like for my whole life, I believed that until I realized that it wasn't true. Well, I don't want to talk about some of the other lies, but it is kind of interesting. So where can moms go to find your book?
So it's available both through animalmediagroup.com, and it will also be available through Amazon starting next week, I believe, the 20th.
Okay, so Amazon next week, and you can find it now through animalmediagroup.com, where we have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today, Brett, and good luck with your book. It's a beautiful book, and congratulations on all the illustration and a great storyline. So thank you. And, you know, as we approach April, April 1st is right around the corner, and recently we asked moms, how do you prepare the Easter basket? So you guys want to know the results? 1,100 of you took this survey, and 90% say that they put at least one toy in the Easter basket. 73% of moms say that they make an Easter basket no matter the age of their child. Even if their child is in their 20s, they still make an Easter basket. Many of you, including 60%, have never bought a prepackaged Easter basket because you claim that you enjoy the creativity of making an Easter basket. So with that, I'd just like you to know that you have 30 days to make your Easter basket. So ready, set, go on the Easter baskets. But don't go anywhere from Mom Talk Radio, because in just a second, we are going to have MomCaveTV.com here to tell us about everything that she's doing online in her community.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
I'm delighted to put the spotlight today on one mom who has a 2-year-old and a 7-year-old. She was a city mom who has now moved out to the Berkshires, so I guess she's kind of a country mom now. Her blog is momcavetv.com. You can find her on YouTube. Her name is Jennifer, and she is here on Mom Talk Radio giving us some of her time doing things that moms do online. And welcome, Jennifer, to Mom Talk Radio.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
We are excited to hear about Mom Cave TV. I know that you're building a community of moms online. Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing and what they'll find when they go to Mom TV?
Sure. We specialize in producing comedy videos for moms. When I had my first child and I was looking for stuff online, I was coming across all the mommy blogs, and Pinterest was just coming up around then, and it just all made me feel crappy, like I was feeling as a mom. And so I started writing more about my experiences and got some friends involved, and we started producing video. And we focus on using comedy to deal with the struggles in our lives. And that started as a YouTube channel and then sort of started to become a community as we would do live broadcasts and we would bring viewers on to talk to us on the broadcasts and get them involved. And now we've got about 33,000 people on Facebook that follow us, and they're all really involved. So it's become more of a community that we produce comedic videos for, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so what do you think is the one topic that most moms love to laugh at?
that we're all losing it. We're completely losing it, even though sometimes from the outside, you look at the other moms of the kids in your class or whatever, and it looks like know, they've taken a shower that day. They've dressed nicely. They got their kid there on time. The kid remembered their lunch, all that stuff. But if you are that mom inside, you probably are, like, did that by the skin of your teeth and feel like you're just about to lose it. So we all kind of, we feel one way inside and we sometimes look another way outside, and it's nice to know that other people feel the same way we do. That's probably where the most comedy comes from.
Yeah, and it's so funny how we can always laugh at someone else's life when it's, you know, another mom going through it, but we never seem to be able to laugh when it's us. What do you think, like, moms have to do to learn to laugh at the chaos when we're in the moment?
I think it's important to just remember that this is just a stage in your life and in your kid's life. And I always, before I had kids, looked at it as like, when I have kids, I'm going to be a mom, and this is what it's going to be like. And I pictured it one way. And that will be like when I'm grown up, right? That's when I'll really function as a grown up. And then when the kids are brought into your life, chaos ensues, and you don't feel like the grown up at all. You wonder, why am I in charge here? And if you just remember, though, that they're only this age for a certain amount of time, that whatever struggles you're having right now are probably a stage, and the next stage will come with different struggles. And, you know, if you talk to moms that have older kids, though it feels like everything is taking a long time right now, it's going to go by in the blink of an eye, and your kids are going to be grown, and you're going to look back on it. So just to know that this moment isn't forever. Savor it, even though you might be going insane.
Yeah, and that's such a good message, particularly in light of the events of this week, that, you know, really, if there's spaghetti on the floor, like, does it really matter? Like, what if that spaghetti wasn't there tomorrow? You know, like, there's just sometimes, I know reality is reality, but sometimes you just have to take a step back and just not sweat the small stuff. Really
for
good
sure.
Stuff, Jennifer. And I'm so happy that you are attacking motherhood with some humor. It's momcavetv.com. You can find it on YouTube under Mom Cave. Really happy that you spent some time with us today. Thank you so much for sharing some of your humor and wisdom. And I hope that our moms will visit and go watch the videos, because they're really, really good. So thank you very much. When we return, we have the founder of Little Newtons.
Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
I am excited to have with us today Elise McGregor. She's the founder of Little Newtons, and it's an exceptional child care center focusing on early childhood education. They have 4 locations in Minnesota and 1 in Illinois. Did you hear how I said that? Minnesota?
I like that.
That was good, huh? She's an author of an upcoming book, Creating Brilliance. She's also a nurse, and she has a BS in exercise physiology with cardiac rehabilitation emphasis. So she is one smart lady, and now she's on Mom Talk Radio. She could put that on her resume. So welcome, Elise, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you.
That's a lot of stuff that you know how to do. That's amazing. Tell me a little bit about pre-K education, and is it being taught with too much intensity, not enough intensity? Because it seems like at an earlier and earlier and earlier age, children are entering school or some kind of education program.
Yeah, and the reason that I had founded the program in the first place was through my past education that you went through. I learned a lot about the brain and how the brain starts so young with the ability to absorb a lot of knowledge. So having my first child, I thought,
we need to start educating sooner, but that doesn't mean that we necessarily need to start them in school, I guess, if you look at it that way. It's just their abilities to learn and to receive knowledge at a very young age compared to where we start traditional school at kindergarten. They've lost those 0 to 5 years, where those are the years where they really develop a love for learning and the ability to learn.
Yeah. So what should they be learning at that point, though, in that stage of loving to learn?
I think literacy skills are probably the most important thing that a child could be presented, and that's expanding language, learning numbers, writing, letter sounds, letter identification, reading. Even parents reading to their children, we can definitely see a difference in children that are read to daily by their parents, even at a young age of a baby or a toddler, versus when they go into kindergarten and they've had no exposure to literacy, or they have to then learn their letters at that stage. It's much more difficult.
So is there specifically, in terms of teaching, things that are lacking in the pre-K years?
I think it's the understanding of their abilities. So it doesn't matter the subject, or it doesn't matter, you know, I guess the goals of the program. For me, I feel like we, as a overall, look at, you know, they're 2 or 3, they don't have the ability. So I don't want to say dumb it down, but we kind of assume that they don't have the ability to learn certain things at that age. So, like, for my program, for example, we're teaching 4- and 5-year-olds the chemical elements and presidents, and we believe that we can teach them anything, and they do absorb the knowledge, and they go home and tell their parents all about the presidents. But I think it's that understanding that small, small children do have the ability to learn and should be presented with that.
Yeah, and I just wonder, as part of that learning, are we focused too much on technology? Because I think everybody is so consumed with the fact that my child needs to be coding by the time they're 6 if they want to get a leg up into getting into a college or finding the right job later on. And maybe you can give me some thoughts around technology.
So this is interesting. I am a pen and paper person. So with the over 800 children that I have, we are just moving into having a centralized app for our schools or, like, administration. Because in my thought process, I think they should be in the classrooms, painting with paint, using paper, those type of tactile type skills, versus, you know, a parent will come in and ask about iPads. And for me, it's so foreign. And I don't know if I'm just at that age where now the newer parents are doing that, but I feel like children need real books. Like, they need books to open, they need to feel them, they need to do that, versus reading books on an iPad. So there's all these different ways that technology is making its way into this age group. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of pumping the brakes on feeling like, no, we need to play with Play-Doh and we need to play with clay and things like that. And they're going to have their whole lifetime to be technical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what about children who start and learn in pre-K 4 and pre-K 5, do they do better later? Like, the child that doesn't start school until they're in kindergarten, what's a difference in those children's performance later on? Is there any research that tells us that there is a difference?
There's not the long-term research of what does that child look like in 12th grade or something like that. But knowing that the brain capacity is 90% formed by age 5, it's harder for them to grasp the concepts, I guess. So a child that's in pre-K 4, pre-K 5 is prepared, going into kindergarten, knows the letters, is starting to read. They tend to have more behavior issues because the school in general has to go to the lowest level. So they're teaching letter sounds. They're teaching things that those children have already learned. And so that's mm-hmm. where we see a lot of the feedback is they're a grade ahead, but now they're stagnant once they get into kindergarten. And then we see they start making up their own choices, like, you know, rather than doing what the teacher wants them to, they're bored. They're going to start having a lot of behavior issues where the children that haven't been into school yet, they don't have those issues. They're just slowed down on their their brain capacity to grasp it as easily as the child that's had it for right. 3 or 4 years.
Right, right. Well, before we say goodbye, I want to make sure that I tell our listeners where they can find you. It is at littlenewtons.com, and there's where you can find Elise and all her information. And if you live in Minnesota or Illinois, you can check out her child care facilities and her education centers. And thank you so much, Elise, for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. Really good stuff, and you're doing amazing things to give our children a head start. So thank you for that. And when we return, we're going to turn our attention while we're up north to the Windy City Nanny. And we're going to be talking about this former nanny and her philanthropy work.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
I'm delighted to have with us a woman better known as the Windy City Nanny. She by name is Florence Ann Romano. She's a dedicated philanthropist and former nanny who has always had a special place in her heart for children. She worked for over 15 years as a nanny, beginning as a mommy's helper at the age of 11. She shares her experience in Nanny and Me, a book that is was out in 2015. And she's joining us here today on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Florence, to the show.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for the introduction.
All those years of being a nanny, what did you find that moms had the greatest challenge with? Because sometimes moms will say, oh, it's just my child. But you had to have seen consistencies over all those years.
Well, I think it's twofold. I saw mothers and parents struggle the most with having a nanny and the guilt that goes along with that, about having to go back to work or wanting to go back to work and hiring someone to take care of their child in their absence. And then the other side of it was watching children's discipline be very varied across the board regarding different parenting styles, and bringing someone else into the home to be an extension of your parenting, an extension of your discipline. Sometimes it was a hairy line.
One of the things that I think comes up a lot is how we react to our children's behavior. I'm sure that you have some interesting insight on that.
Well, I always say that you should, instead of react, you should be responding to the child's behavior. And what I mean by that is finding out how you can have a constructive conversation with a child that is throwing a tantrum. That sounds like it's almost impossible. But the truth is, they're going to be watching you when you are responding to them. So, for example, when a child is throwing a tantrum in public, you have to respond to that immediately. You can't just let them throw the tantrum, though I've seen many parents let them do that. I don't agree with that. You do need to respond immediately. Take them out of the situation or reprimand them. But if it is a situation where you can take a minute and say, hey, what you're doing is unacceptable. Your behavior is disappointing me. And I'm going to come back here in 1 minute and talk to you about it. And you can walk away, collect your thoughts, and come back and have that conversation with your child. And there's a lot of different reasons why this is a good tactic. But one of which is when your child has to sit there and shake in their boots about what's going to happen when mom or dad comes back to reprimand them, that's not a bad thing. It actually gives them a moment to get a little scared. And it gives you a moment to figure out how you're going to approach the situation and how you're going to reprimand them or ground them or discipline them, whatever the case may be.
I had 3 children under 20 months at one point, and a few years later had 4 under 4. And one of the biggest challenges for me was going to the grocery store, because inevitably I had 3 children under the age of 2 with me. And one of the things that I learned was we so often give our children directives that don't make any sense to them. And then we wonder why they are not behaving well. And the grocery store was always one of those things where you say, okay, we're going to go in the store and I want you to be good. But to a child, like, we never really defined that. And I had to learn the hard way that I had to define it by saying, when we go in the grocery store, this is the behavior I expect. This is what I expect you to do. I want you to sit in the cart. I don't want you to touch things, whatever the 3 things were. How do you think that parents can learn those lessons faster in life so that we're not, you know, looking back 12 years from now going, oh my God, why did I not think about that in the moment?
I think it comes down to knowing that your children are much more intelligent than we give them credit for. They are able to soak up the information, absorb the information. They will respond to a directive, like you're saying, if you're giving them the option to learn about it at first. So I would say that to all parents out there, you need to start the expectations quickly in your home from the get-go with your kids that this is the acceptable behavior in whatever different environment it might be, public or in school or in church or wherever you might be, where they will be exposed to other people or be in a social situation. But you're right, learning the lesson 12 years later isn't helpful. So I would say that when they're young, start teaching them what the rules of the home are. That's going to be the most important thing. And then they're going to start to learn what sort of behavior is acceptable, what is unacceptable when they actually go out into public and are socializing, like I said. But I think the way to do that is by you knowing as a parent what you expect of your children and communicating that to them. If you do it, then they will respond positively most of the time. But if you're not consistent in your discipline, you're not consistent in your expectations, the children are going to get confused and they're going to try to test all sorts of things on you. So stay consistent and follow through is my advice.
Well, we only have another minute, and I want to make sure that our listeners know what they'll find at WindyCityNanny.com. Can you give us a little brief overview in the next 60 seconds?
Yes. You can find my book there, Nanny and Me. I wrote it to help children understand the transition of being cared for by their parents to being cared for by a nanny or a caretaker, and you can purchase it right there or go on any other website for books or Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And then you'll also find a blog and then just information I have about the time I was a nanny and fun parenting tips for nannies and parents alike.
Well, thank you so much for sharing a little bit of your day with us. And it's WindyCityNanny.com. You'll find all of Florence's information there. We have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. I appreciate you joining us, and stay warm up there in the Windy City. We mentioned at the top of the hour that it's only 30 days to Easter, so it's about those time when you need to start looking for the deals, thinking about what's going in the Easter basket, thinking about maybe buying toys ahead of time. I'm on my way to Toy Fair this week, and I am excited to look forward to a couple of those new toys that are out. One that I absolutely love is the Fairy Tree Hollow that you can find at Target, and I'll talk more about that throughout the show a little later. When we return, we have the famous Erin Marcus with us to talk a little bit about your child in the industry of modeling and acting and how you can avoid the scams.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
I am super excited for a whole bunch of reasons to have Erin Marcus with us today. He has been on 1,200 TV shows and commercials, including, oh my gosh, House of Cards and Law and Order and so much more. But for today, he's here to talk about how to become a successful actor and model, because he has a book out by the same name. And for me, as a mom of a theater kid, I'm excited to get in and ask him a whole bunch of questions. So thank you, Erin, for being here today on Mom Talk Radio.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Maria.
I'm going to tell you a call that I got today, okay, from my child. Hey, Mom, I'm going into New York. I have a photo shoot. Somebody contacted me off of Instagram. Okay, you could hear my head hit the table. Tell us very quickly how to avoid scams, because I know people are out there just going through our kids' Instagrams and Facebook pages looking for that child that wants to be a model?
There are two separate things that people need to know about. One is scams, and the other is just walking into a dangerous situation. For the scams, just so people understand, if there's somebody who's talking about you're going to become a star and we're going to make you famous and you're going to have millions of dollars, it's just, you know, $400 up front or $1,000 retainer and then, you know, $300 a month. If you start hearing anything about being promised things that are just impossible to guarantee, red flags should be flying up very, very quickly. We do not, agents and models, we do not pay our representatives a penny except for a percentage of any bookings that we get. There are no monthly fees or anything like that. The only exception to the rule is if you are requested to be on their website, then, yeah, that's how they promote you or other companies' websites, which they use to market their talent. So that's really one of the key things. If you are looking at, for representation, visit their website. You know, you can do that so easily today and just look at the photos. Even if you're not a photographer and you don't know much about pictures, do they look like professional photos or do they look like somebody's aunt who took a picture in somebody's backyard? You want to see professional looking photographs, and if not, that would make me very concerned as well. Now, with your, you know, your daughter, or for anybody, if you're getting either unsolicited opportunities for photographs, absolutely, you've got to bring somebody with you. No, they don't have to sit on your lap during the photo shoot, but they have to be in the area. You just don't know. So those are some of the things that I would do. And also for the photographer, check out the photographer's website as well. If you're seeing shots on there that are making you a little concerned, then use your intuition and trust your gut.
I just want to get to that mom question that we, a lot of us have. If our child wants to pursue acting and modeling, what kind of pictures do we have to have?
Great question. So if your child is really young, less than, 3, 4, 5 years of age, certainly you can talk with the agent, but typically you just need to take a photo from your cell phone, because if you went out and spent $200, $300, $400, $600 on professional photos, next month your child's going to look completely different.
Yeah.
So until their age is stable, until their face and their images are somewhat stable, maybe at 5, 6, 7 years of age, then I would not go out and spend any money on a professional photo. And most of the agents or managers will tell you, look, just keep us updated with what he or she looks like today.
Yeah, I was one of those that that bought those expensive pictures, and you learn from that. You only do it once, that's for sure.
But you know, and that's what we all do. When I first got started, I was clueless, and that's why I love mentoring people, just because I can help people save the years and years of guesswork and trial and error and spending money unnecessarily.
Right. Well, I want to make sure I get your book in here. It's called How to Become a Successful Actor and Model. I am reading it myself as we speak because it's really good stuff. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us today. And you have a website. It's called howtoactandmodel.com. Moms, check it out. There's a whole bunch of wisdom there. And you can always reach out to Aaron through the website as well. Thank you so much for saving us from making some of those big mistakes that I know I've already made. But thanks for helping my audience out.
Sure,
I want to thank you.
My pleasure, anytime.
I want to thank you for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. As always, it's a pleasure to share my week with you. We'll be back next week, this time, this station. And you can always find us, if you miss a show, on our app, which you can download free of charge at the iTunes store. I'm Maria Bailey. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you again next week.